All this week, we are talking to the mayors of Southern Illinois, and today, second in line, yesterday it was Steve Fortini of Herron. It's Murfreesboro Mayor Will Stevens. First off, long time no see.
Good to see you, Tom. Well, thank you for the invitation.
Except for, Facebook. Which, Will, I'm telling you, and I see Guy Longy, who's on tomorrow morning at 8:20, also does this very well. You're a hell of a cheerleader for your area, for your town. You're it's not just about we're going to be resurfacing this road. You're a cheerleader for your community. Let me give you an example of what I think is a great example. The U.S. News and World Report comes out and says 4,266 high schools. And Will Stevens takes that U.S. News and World Report and says, look at this, Murfreesboro in the top 200, the top 5%.
Yeah, well, it's important that we highlight the positive things about our community, because the easiest thing in the world to do is to complain about the things we don't have. Log on to your social media page this morning and you won't have any trouble finding people who are willing to run down the communities that they live in. And that's not what I'm called to do for my town or for Southern Illinois as a whole. One of the primary things that drive people's decisions when it comes to where they're going to live is the quality of the school district. And I think for a long time, Murfreesboro has had an image of a school district that maybe wasn't as strong as others. And so I think because we've got such quality teachers there that we have been able to climb up that ladder over the last 5 to 10 years. And once you get recognized for that, you should share it.
Yeah, and then you've got the band. I mean, things to celebrate. I mean, yeah. When you think about that, and people, because I'd never heard that, people talking about Murfreesboro schools. So one of the first things when I moved into town, which would have been fall of 87, I think, is people, talking about their schools, the band, and I'm at the barbecue fest, and people say, they quit the they quit the band to go to the football team because the practices are easier.
Yeah.
Right? And then you see them marching down the main street for the barbecue championships, and you go, wow, you know what you're talking about. So it's one of the things that Murfreesboro's always been proud of.
Definitely.
Is the band. So what about flooding? What's your situation there in Murfreesboro? I saw the pictures on Roberta Drive. What is your situation now? Because with this rain we experienced over the weekend, rain's got no place to go.
Well, we have two different issues, of course. We have the sustained flooding of the Big Muddy River, which it's been above flood stage, seems like, since last Christmas.
Right.
And then we also have issues with flash flooding in town, where we just don't have the appropriate infrastructure to move the amount of water that falls in a short period of time.
And most of your town's on a hill.
Well, it is. And we have some areas that were built on that perhaps shouldn't have been. In retrospect, they were already low-lying areas, and so it's always been difficult for those to drain. And when you get an inch of rain and 45 minutes or an hour, it's tough to get it all away, and a 12-inch pipe holds 12 inches of water, and you only have so much money to do infrastructure improvement. I can say, however, that we are currently taking some steps legally to do some improvements on some areas north of town, because there is some areas where we have culverts going underneath the railroad tracks where the culverts are set too high, so the water trying to drain away from town has to build up and back up before it can truly move out of town. And we've had some issues with accessing those, and so I think we're really working toward a holistic solution to that drainage problem in town that should be resolved in the next 6 months.
Well, it's interesting because you talked about how people will go out on social media and be critical and talk about the flooding. Well, you had, I think it was 20th Street, where you had a hole open up, right? And then I looked at the comments and I'm like, come on. But it proved your point, I think, to a certain extent, and then you get taken out and flogged for something that you have no control over whatsoever.
Sure. Well, the interesting thing is we knew for a long time that we had issues with that particular sewer line underneath 20th Street, and we had already voted and appropriated the money to repair that line and resurface that street. The contractor was coming in on Monday, and the road caved in on the Thursday before. So we are monitoring these things. We don't always get to them before something like that happens. But, I'm actively talking to my street and water department foreman, where are you seeing issues, so we can try to get ahead of these things. But, all of our towns we have hundreds of miles of streets and underground infrastructure, and it's just tough to stay ahead of it all.
And you didn't mention it, but probably should. Murfreesboro is maybe a little older town than people give credit for. You probably have some steel pipe or probably not, maybe not a steel cast iron pipe that's been under Murfreesboro for 100 years.
Well, yeah, 1843 is when the town was founded, and so we've got clay pipe underground. We've got, it's amazing what we've got underground. We've even gotten into some wooden pipes before, believe it or not.
Really? And that'd be interested to see.
That's very rare. But
so when the state of Illinois came up with a new budget, new infrastructure plan, we've had time to digest some of the figures. What is there that you think Murfreesboro residents should know about?
Well, in terms of the new budget plan, the new capital plan, things of this nature, I still am not sure how this motor fuel tax increase is going to be divvied up amongst various municipalities in Illinois, because, you know, we now get a portion of that, but I don't know what portion of the increase we're going to get. I'm sure we're going to get some, and so I think it's going to be...
I wonder, because you have that ability to tag on additional... Is it 3 cents or 3%? I think it's 3 cents, isn't
it? It's 3 cents.
Because I wonder if they're saying, no, you don't get any of it. If you want some, then put your own on there. Because that was not an option when the legislation was originally introduced. And then they sweetened that pot by saying, well, you want some? You can add some.
Well,
I wonder.
That may be what ultimately comes out. I typically lean on the Illinois Municipal League and their director, Brad Cole. He sends out great executive summaries to mayors across the state to help us understand what could be very complex issues. You know, these bills are hundreds and hundreds of pages long.
Right.
And I'm not a full-time mayor. You know, that's the other thing, is that, you know, I do my job in the evenings and the weekends, and it's tough to digest all of these things. But ultimately, we need money for infrastructure. I publicly supported the increase in the motor fuel tax. I continue to think that's a good idea when you look at it being adjusted for inflation since it was last increased in the early 90s. You know, it's just got to happen.
Got the sewer plant problem taken care of? Or is that over, that project? That's over now, that
it
project?
It is. We,
how long did it take?
The new sewer plant took probably 6 years.
Seems longer, though, didn't it?
It did. Well, and that predated me, Mayor Ron Williams, who, I tell you, when you run against somebody, you hear a lot of things, and then you take office and you realize how brave and hardworking Ron Williams was. I've got nothing but good things to say about that guy, because he made a lot of difficult decisions that allowed me to operate more freely, like getting the wastewater treatment plant started. And that's the reason why his name's above mine on that plaque down there, because I got to give credit where credit's due. Although we did see it to completion, he was the one really got it underway.
Well, that's not the only project that you've had. That you've had on the agenda. I mean, here's my to-do list, right?
Yeah.
I'll walk anywhere without my to-do list. I love putting lines through stuff.
Me too.
Right? Demolishing the brown shoe factory.
Yeah, that was...
That had to have been like three pieces on your to-do list. That had to be... used a Sharpie for that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I've kept a brick behind my nameplate at City Council Chambers for 6 years from the Brown Shoe Factory, so I'd never forget that we needed to figure out how to get that done. We were able to loan the owner of the property some money in order to get the shoe factory pushed in and eliminate the safety issue. There's still work that remains to be done because there are environmental issues there. I'm going to work with the property owner to try to pursue some grant money to help get that fully cleaned up. We've eliminated the safety issue, the walls that were unstable, and we've got it fenced off, and we continue to work on that. But it was an eyesore. It was a safety issue for the neighborhood, and we were able to come up with a creative solution to get the problem solved.
So the state budget infrastructure, we talked a little bit about this before, and here we are talking about demolition, which took money, all right? Is there anything else that you've heard about this in the infrastructure or budget that you talked about fuel taxes? Is there anything else in there that you think worthy of note?
Well, I think one thing that wasn't in there yet, and I hope that perhaps we can continue to work on this moving forward. I'm on the Southwest Connector Task Force, the 127 expansion, and we had hoped to get some money in the capital bill for that. We were not successful. We're currently working on a build grant, which was previously called the Tiger Grant under the Obama administration, a federal grant application that's due in July. Me and some other members of that committee, along with some folks from IDOT, are going to be submitting that, and we hope that we can get up to $10 million for planning for one portion and $32 million for actual construction on the first portion from Murfreesboro to north of Vergennes.
That'd be good.
Oh, it'd be excellent. I mean, it would be large number of jobs. It would be a continuation of a project that's been talked about for 5 decades.
Well, look at Murfreesboro. You go out of there and you've got two lanes going out, and then you've got them pulling together by the railroad trestle, right?
I mean, absolutely.
You pick it up there and you keep that flow going. I hope it's something you and I see in our lifetime, more likely yours than mine, of course. You know, when it comes to these issues here, Friday asked me voting on this new contract. You've seen some of the raises, 3.95 included in that. Well, how's that going to affect Murfreesboro budget over the coming years when you see those AFSCME agreement numbers?
Well, you know, we bargain with our municipal level employees, of course, and I'm in the middle of working through some negotiations with the clerical staff right now, and I've got other negotiations coming up soon. And anytime you see increases like that for state workers, you know, that's going to be a part of the conversation at the bargaining table with my city workers.
Especially if it's 3.95 and one of those raises over, I think it's 6 years.
Well, yeah, people look.
That's just one raise. There are others.
It's not just that. When you talk about the minimum wage increases that we're going to be looking at over the coming years, you know, I've got people who are leadership positions in the city of Murfreesboro that currently are not making $15 an hour.
Right.
And that's not because I don't respect them as employees. Many of them are doing great work.
Yep.
But when you're talking about minimum wage at $15 an hour, that's going to impact negotiations as well.
For everybody.
For everybody across the board.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but we know it's going to affect all of our budgets. You know, when it comes to this item as well, you know, I was talking earlier about being a cheerleader. You have been doing this, what you call off-site meetings, where anybody wants to come. You want to come? You want to have a conversation? Is it about the AFSCME negotiations? Is it about flooding in the area? Is it us having the best school? Is it about Braun's shoe store being torn down? Is it about the water doesn't drain on you? You open the door. Off-site meetings. You're going to continue these?
Yeah, it's important, especially I think people on the lower rungs of the economic ladder tend to not engage with their government as much. And that's one of the reasons why I've been holding meetings in our public housing communities, because those folks are citizens of Murfreesboro no different than anybody else is. But I just don't hear from them enough. And when I know consciously that I'm not hearing from a segment of the population in my town, I need to go find them. You know, I can't just expect they're going to show up at my door, because I have to remember, and every mayor needs to remember this, that I'm nobody special in particular, but it can be intimidating for some people in my community, in any community, to come knocking on my door because they don't necessarily deal with quote-unquote authority figures that often. But if you'll meet them where they are, you can find out all sorts of things going on in your community that you just wouldn't find out otherwise.
Right. So the football team came by and helped do some cleanup in your community this past weekend. They did, I believe, Marion and DuQuoin, at least two other communities that I'm aware of.
SIU Carbondale is the most important part of the Southern Illinois economy, and part of making sure that it remains vibrant is having people like Coach Nick Hill who take their players out and show them what Southern Illinois is and connect them with the leadership in Southern Illinois. And these types of community service projects, I can't say enough about it. He approached me, and we provided some very basic things like trash bags and gloves and whatnot. And we got out in the community, and they met some young people, some kids, and it was just a great afternoon. And you can't help but come away from those things feeling better just about the area as a whole. You know, if you're feeling down today and you want to feel better, go out and volunteer somewhere. You'll find out quickly you're doing better than you might think.
What is it in the water over in Murfreesboro that gets entrepreneurs going over there? Microbreweries, distilleries. I mean, when you look, Mike Mills growing his sauce factory, right?
Sure.
You know, and I wonder, because I lived there so long, but there seems to be a level of entrepreneurship in Murfreesboro that I think maybe doesn't go fully appreciated.
Well, I think we've done a couple of things, Justin. I can only speak for my time as mayor. We try to get out of the way and serve as a guide for people that are wanting to open a business as much as possible. I don't want to be a goaltender, so to speak. I want to be people that are wanting to open up a business's guide so that we can move them through the buoys to get to their destination and be successful. You know, secondarily, when you've had such a blue-collar history, and we've got it all throughout Southern Illinois. We just talked about the Brown Shoe Factory. We talk about the Jacket Factory. You talk about Luster and Kerwood. You talk about, you know, these are places that have
Wildlife Industries, Mike Shalusky, on the list goes.
Exactly. And so that sort of energy tends to perpetuate itself. And I think that's a big part of it.
I believe that. I swear to God, I believe that. I really do. The other guy looks at the other guy and go, he can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
And I don't mean that in a degrading way whatsoever. It does. You think, well, look at him. You know, I could make Irish penny whistles and sell them on the internet, right? True story. Out of one of the employees that worked for Mike Shalusky or with Mike Shalusky. I got somebody just texted here a couple of moments ago, and they says, I think the 3% gas tax is only allowed in the Chicago area. I didn't think so.
Well,
that's 3 cents.
But I'm more than happy to be corrected because I'll be wrong more than once today. But I'll
right. But I thought it was for local. I thought that every municipality had that options. But Nick just texted in and says, I think that's only Chicago. I guess we'll find out soon enough. You just wrote an opinion page on concerns about discharge water from a mine in the Southern.
Yeah, I've had a number of residents come to me with concerns about that. And as I said in the letter to the editor, I am the great-grandson, grandson, son of coal miners. I've got nothing but respect for the work that coal miners do, but I've got a responsibility as mayor that when somebody wants to build a 12-mile pipeline and dump up to 3.5 million gallons of water a day into the Big Muddy River just north of Murfreesboro and, conveniently enough, just south of a measuring gauge for river levels, that raises some issues with me. When there are 26 different amendments that have to be made to their application that Foresight Energy put forth, that tells me that they're not operating in a genuine fashion from, as Big Larry used to say, from Jump Street. And so I think it was important for me to speak out on that because I think I have a pretty good sense of where my community is, and I just can't get on board with that. I don't want anybody to have to work in an unsafe condition, but when I look at the flooded Big Muddy River, I don't need an extra 3.5 million gallons a day of water in that river.
A couple items before I let you go. One, you know, I talked about this cheerleading thing, which I think you're one of the best at. You go and you say, hey, I'm here, come, this is going on today. Farmers Market, another example. How often does that go on?
Every Saturday.
What time?
Starts at 8, runs till noon on Chestnut Street downtown.
You got a lot of folks Union County come up, too.
We do have a really great committee, and that's what makes Murfreesboro so fun to be the mayor of, is that there's so many people that volunteer, the Friends of Murfreesboro, the Kiwanis, the Elks Lodge. I mean, all of these
groups.
The
Rotary Club.
Yeah, the Rotary Club. I mean, the Friends of Murfreesboro built a splash pad, and all the city did was give them some free water.
You're doing concerts downtown, too.
That'll be in August. We follow up the Carbondale Sunset Concerts every Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We've got a good lineup of local and area talent, and that's at Town Center Park next to the Sally Logan Library.
What about fireworks this year?
July 4th, always at Riverside Park. I think we're going to be able to still have them at Riverside Park, despite the fact that the river's up, the projections for the river levels that things should be cleared out, and believe you me, we'll be spraying for mosquitoes of about 48 hours nonstop before that takes place.
Mayor Will Stevens of Murfreesboro, going forward, we've got a budget. There's the promise of money. There's taxes that have people really intimidated. What's next for Murfreesboro and Will Stevens? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, we just want to continue to see through a couple of our big projects. We still have the hotel development that's pending at the old Apple Tree Inn site, which has been beset on both sides by all sorts of issues, flooding and infrastructure breakdowns. We continue to believe that's going to happen. Also, the Kerwood facility that Solar Alliance, New Yen, the Bitcoin mining and data center company, they're looking to invest tens of millions of dollars there, and I think that's going to be a really exciting thing as well. And we continue to really bird dog that and make sure that we're, clearing the hurdles, whether it be at the city or state level, to make sure that comes together.